Time to join Joan Lewis, EWTN's Bureau Chief here in Rome. She brings us the Vatican Week in review.
Joan, when we left each other last week, we didn't expect Monday's bombshell announcement, did we?
Not at all. You know, and Monday, in several ways, it was a bolt out of the blue to hear the Pope say he was going to renounce the Petrine ministry. And I don't know about you, I'm still reeling from it, really. All of the commitments, I believe every single one that was on his agenda until through Thursday, February 28th at 8 o'clock in the evening, those commitments are going to be fulfilled. He's going to meet various groups. He's been meeting for quite some time now bishops of Italy on their ad limina visit. He will end up not meeting all of them because some of them were scheduled in early March. He's meeting two heads of states, the president of Romania and the president of Guatemala. He's meeting, I think it was Friday morning, the Pro Patri Sede organization, which I believe is from the Netherlands. So those appointments, including the six-day retreat, were on his schedule. Cardinal Ravasi will preach the retreat. So the Pope goes Sunday night at about 6 o'clock on retreat. There'll be the first lesson, if you will, by Cardinal Ravasi. The retreat ends Saturday morning. The Pope meets the retreat master and so forth. Later on that week, he'll be meeting, including the final day, the 28th, with cardinals one-on-one, then be meeting with the cardinals in Rome as a group. He doesn't even know that he may be meeting his own successor when you think of it.
History in the making.
History in the making. That's what we're living through. It seems almost like yesterday, and yet it was 8 years ago, living through Pope John Paul's illness and his death, that immense week of mourning and outpouring, 4 million people in Rome, and then his funeral, the Novendiales, the nine masses of mourning and so forth. And just to depart for a second, that's a very interesting thing because the journalists have been asking all this week of Father Lombardi, what we know and we have in our hands, John Paul's apostolic constitution.
Universi.
We have that. And that was written by the Pope, and it's on the sede vacante, the vacancy, and the election of the new Pope. And John Paul had made some changes. For example, the cardinals are all to reside in a place worthy of cardinals in the Santa Marta residence in the Vatican. Everything in that document, again, this is a papal document, so it seems to me it takes a Pope to undo anything in a papal document or change it or add to it. But being a papal document, it dealt only with the death of a pope. And the reason I bring this up is that what are called novendiales, these 9 days of mourning, including the funeral mass for a pope, well, we don't have that kind of mourning. We're not mourning the death of a pope. We may be mourning in another way the departure of a reigning pope. But are those going to be looked at? Can they legally be looked at by a commission of cardinals and changed? And I think Father Lombardi, at his press briefing on Thursday, I think he probably answered that by saying it is a papal document and it could only be changed or added to by another pope. So it looks like those 9 days will remain in the arrangement of everything for the cardinals when they gather in Rome. So the sede vacante begins at 8 o'clock on the 28th of February. And I thought it was very interesting. I think a lot of us Monday morning wondered why on earth this specific hour of 8 o'clock, why not just like midnight when the day ends? And I thought it was fascinating. Father Lombardi told us that is the time of day when Pope Benedict considered his work day ended. So then anything after 8 o'clock, whether it was dinner, watching news on TV, praying, writing, reading, he considered that his personal downtime. So his work day, we have just learned, ended at 8 o'clock, and thus his pontificate will end at the end of a normal work day. What our listeners have to understand, all of us are on a learning curve for the Curia, for the College of Cardinals, for the media. Actually, Monday the 11th was supposed to be just an ordinary business day, a consistory. They were to talk about the causes of canonization for future saints. And then in Latin, the Pope made his declaration saying why he had called them. I've convoked you to this consistory, not only for the three canonizations, but to communicate to you a decision of great importance for the life of the Church. After having examined my conscience before God, I've come to the certainty that my strengths, due to an advanced age, are no longer suited to an adequate exercise of the Petrine ministry. I'm well aware the ministry, due to its essential spiritual nature, must be carried out not only with words and deeds, but no less with prayer and suffering. He said, we need strength of mind and body. These are necessary strength, which in the last few months has deteriorated in me to the extent that I've had to recognize my incapacity to adequately fulfill the ministry entrusted to me. And I mentioned Monsignor Ganschwein a moment ago, the Pope's personal secretary. We learned on Thursday that Archbishop Ganschwein and the memores, the consecrated laywomen who have been with the Holy Father since the beginning of his pontificate, they will be with him when he retires to a monastery in Vatican City. We were told at the press conference there was no consultation with the College of Cardinals on this. So 5 o'clock on February 28th, the Sede Vacante begins 3 hours later. 5 o'clock on February 28th, the Pope will board a helicopter. He will still be Holy Father. He will go to Castel Gandolfo. He will stay at Castel Gandolfo until the monastery is ready for him to move in, which I think we can all guess would be sometime after the conclave, after the new Pope, after Holy Week. He told the priest of Rome on Thursday morning in a very memorable, amazing meeting. He spoke for 1 hour off the cuff on his participation in Vatican Council II. And he told them he'd not be seeing them again, and he would be hidden away in the Vatican. So it's been a week of stunning surprises, very beautiful events. His final, semi-final, if you will, penultimate general audience Wednesday, because this Wednesday he'll be on retreat. And then on Wednesday the 27th, the last time the whole world will see him in a public function, the audience is scheduled to be in St. Peter's Square. So we can imagine that will be totally packed. Oh, yeah, exactly. I think personally each one of us, certainly those of us who cover the Vatican, listen to the Pope, see the Pope, go to Masses. His Ash Wednesday Mass was extraordinary. And at the end, a huge, prolonged standing ovation, which caught him off guard. So you could see his humility there. And at the end of Mass, and then he said, let us return to prayer. And so the final prayers of Mass. And then he gets on the mobile platform, goes down the central aisle for one last time. And I went, all the cardinals took their mitres off as a sign of respect and admiration for the Holy Father. The photographers, I was right there with the photographers, the tears, the public. You looked at Monsignors, you looked at Cardinals, you looked at the Holy Father's secretary, and the emotion was extraordinary. Not unexpected, of course, but the prolonged applause as the Pope was going down the central aisle, and prolonged applause just before the end of Mass. Cardinal Bertone, Secretary of State, and a close confidant of the Pope, got up and spoke for 3.5 minutes. I know 3.5 only because I recorded it. Very, very beautiful words telling the Pope that, Holy Father, I have to tell you, all of us have a veil of sadness over our heart and soul. So a week of extraordinary emotions. And even though the Holy Father will be with us in the sense of physically, he'll be in Vatican City. We won't be seeing him according to his own wishes. And by the way, we don't know, as I am speaking these words, we do not know yet what he's going to be called. Apparently, this is still being worked out. There have been members of the media that have said the Holy Father will be called XYZ. That has not been decided on definitively, either by people in the Vatican, including the Holy Father. He is, as Pope, Bishop of Rome. So he will be Bishop Emeritus of Rome. But will we address him as Excellency because he was a bishop? Will he still be allowed? Being a bishop is an ordained order.
So he stays a bishop.
Right, he stays a bishop. Cardinal is simply an honorific title. I'm sure a lot of people know that. It is not an ordained title. It's honorific. Will we be allowed, if we are in the Vatican Gardens and meet him, what do we say? What will we say? I think it would come spontaneously, no matter what color he was wearing, to think of him as the Holy Father. He was for us for 8 years. He won't be wearing white. I'm pretty sure that's been decided, too. Just to clarify one thing for our listeners, somebody asked the question, how will the Vatican, the Church, handle having two popes? There will not be two popes. We will have a retired, a former, whatever he will be called. But when Benedict leaves, 8 o'clock, February 28th, he will no longer be pope. There will only be one pope.
And you were listening there to Joan Lewis, EWTN's bureau chief here in Rome.